You ready? Yes. All right. This podcast is for fun and entertainment. We are not a credible source. Let's have a show. Welcome to It Is What It Is. I'm Sha Marie.
I'm Jean.
And so I realize that we've scarred some people.
Last week was rough.
I'm just so glad I scarred people. I am a true villain. Anyway, but yeah, guys, I really didn't mean to scar you. I was just taken back and blown away, so I figured you guys would be too. And I was right. Don't mind her. She's 90. Anyway.
Continue.
Sorry. So today, we're not going to talk about anything. Well, we are going to talk about a murder. Well, murders. But it's not as crazy as last week's.
Yeah.
As Sunday's. So.
Well, good.
And it's kind of like an ultimate fear of mine.
Murder is still terrible.
Well, yeah. But, like, this one's an Uber driver who, like, just fucking goes off of his rocker.
Oh. He gets tired?
I don't know what he does. Well, I know what he does. But, like, I don't know why he does what he does. Super crazy. But. So, yeah. That's the story I'm going to tell you guys today. And it's pretty recent. So, that's pretty crazy. And my information is from Wikipedia. And you guys, I got to just tell you guys one more thing. I don't have to write my stuff anymore because I invested in a printer.
Yay!
Ugh, so happy.
We actually acquired printers on the same day.
Yeah.
It was kind of random printers.
Yeah.
In a weird way.
Good little printer setup. It was fun. So I, guys, printed this. Not wrote it. Super excited about that. All right.
Well, one more hand cramps.
Oh my gosh. You guys, the last one was like 17, 20 something damn pages.
It was. I wondered.
It was super long. And by the time the end of it, my hand hurt so damn bad that I was like, I can't write anymore. So I screenshotted some of the rest of the stuff and sent it to Jean's phone. And I was like, I'm just going to have to read off your phone because my wee little hand just couldn't take it anymore.
That was enough. But the printer gods
blessed me. Well, yeah. Walmart did. I paid for it. I didn't steal it. Anyway. So we are going to go to the night of February 20th, 2016. A series of random shootings took place in an apartment complex, a car dealership, and outside a restaurant in Kalamazoo County, Michigan. Every time, you guys, if you guys are from there.
Kalamazoo.
I love that name.
It is fun.
It's I kept singing the bippity boppity song. Bippity boppity doo. Yeah, that song.
Uh-huh.
And I was like, oh snap. Kalamazoo, you guys got a jingle. I dig it. But sadly, 6 people were killed and 2 others were injured during this. The police detained a 45-year-old Uber driver, Jason Brian Dalton. Those are all first names. That's creepy.
What state was this again? I'm sorry.
Michigan. As a strong suspect in the shootings, he was charged with murder, assault, and criminal firearm within 2 days after the shootings. He was found competent to stand trial. They tried to plead insanity. There was a whole bunch of craziness. He took a guilty plea on January 7th of 2019. Okay, so now we're going to get into it. That's just a preview. Anyhow, so before the shooting. Hours before the shooting, he went to 3 different gun stores with a friend. At one of them, he purchased a black jacket with pocket designs to conceal handguns. Throughout the store owner said that Dalton was in really good spirits when visiting with a friend who accompanied him, said that they were, he was a little more quiet than normal during the trip. he was an occasional customer at the store, but never purchased a firearm there. Shortly after 4 p.m. on February 2nd, Matthew Millen requested an Uber driver to pick him up at a friend's house. He parked at 421 by Dalton, who was driving a silver Explorer Equinox. During the drive, he received a call, and he finished and started driving crazy. The call was his son asking him if he wanted dinner. Mm-hmm. And then once he hung up the phone, I guess that's when he just, like, became a completely different person.
Really?
And he starts acting all crazy, driving all crazy. At one point, he entered the lane of oncoming traffic and drove through a median strip.
With a passenger?
Mm-hmm.
Oh.
Ignoring stop signs and swiped a Ford, all while ignoring Matt's pleas to get out of the car. When Dalton came to a stop at another stop sign, Matt jumped out and called 911.
Yeah.
Gave the dispatcher the information about him, including the license plate numbers. And the dispatcher said to be on the lookout for the vehicle. That's all they did. So, and when he calls, he sends a screenshot of the Uber thing and everything to the dispatcher.
Oh, good.
So they have his picture and everything.
So the guy's Uber. Really helpful.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
And this is when Uber first came out. This is before you had the live people that you have today to talk to in case of emergencies like this. Mm-hmm. When shit's popping off and you need to report it, you can now talk to a live person.
Nope.
And it's like a feature on the app, like a help feature. And you can call 911 directly from the app now.
Nope.
And you couldn't before. I was going to do Uber, but then I got scared for reasons like this. But I was scared of the people not being the one who goes. And snaps. But anyway. Yeah. So at 4:38, he goes back home. Jason goes back home and calls his wife 41 minutes later, asking her for the keys to their Hummer. They agreed to meet at his parents' residence, located 10 miles away from the house. On the way, he accepted another pickup request for 5:15 from a woman who wanted to be picked up by her boyfriend, picked up from her boyfriend's at the Rich Hill Township apartment complex. He's blowing up this person's phone. Like, are you really wanting this ride? I'm here. Where are you? I can't find you. He's freaking out. He's like way more aggressive to know, like, what's going on than he should have been being an Uber driver.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So, the shootings begin around 5:42 when a woman was shot repeatedly in the parking lot at the scene of the apartment complex. She did survive her injuries. Dude, wow. This chick is so badass. So, what happens is her kid is playing with a bunch of apartment kids. And they're like, well, we want to go to this little girl's house that lives over there. Mm. And the mom's like, okay, chill. I got to walk you guys, though. Like, we're in an apartment complex. I got to walk you. And she said that she just got this feeling that, like, something about this vehicle wasn't right.
Yeah.
He wasn't acting right. And she got, like, this just... She mom ended feeling. Up, she took bullets for these babies, dude, and had them run. And so she gets shot, and he drives away. People around the apartment complex are running up to her and stuff, trying to help her.
Because they hear shit.
The only thing this amazing fucking woman wants to know is, are those kids okay?
Yeah.
And she straight tells him, like, I'm not going to answer you. I'm not going to say nothing else until I know those babies are okay. I'm not going to waste my dying breath not knowing my babies are okay.
Mm-hmm.
All the kids were fine, by the way. She was the only one who had injuries, which she did survive.
Not fine, but
yeah.
Not physically
Yeah, not
injured.
Physically fine. There we go. But... Crazy.
Oh, can you imagine?
Fuck no.
Honey! Because sometimes you got with your nieces and nephews, mm-hmm. and there's eight of them, all of a sudden.
According to the woman, she said she was confronted by a man in a vehicle with a German Shepherd dog type sitting in the back. The driver asked her if she was another person, the person he was trying to get...
Find.
She says no. And the man turned his car around and then opened... fire on her. He just fucking went nuts. Like, that's... She just knew. She survived by playing dead because he shot her. 15 rounds were fired. 10 shell casings were discovered.
Ah!
At the scene of the shooting, five children, including the woman's daughter, were present at the scene of the shooting, but they escaped unharmed.
Honey.
Five children.
Five.
Imagine that, dude. So they believe that his request for the Uber ride at the apartment had become botched and requested, and the requester texted Dalton moments later with an additional request with the correct address in which she, which had led him to another location in the same area. She later attempted to call him to follow up with him with the correct address, but he no longer responded. A witness.
He was done with her.
Yeah. He later reported someone called in saying that they saw the vehicle driving aggressively towards an apartment complex. At this point, someone had cut him off on the southbound lane, which caused a head-on collision.
What?
Yeah. He later recognized Dalton on the news as the driver of the car. At 6:05, 20 minutes after the first shooting, Dalton called another requester saying he didn't respond to her text and that he could not do the ride because something had come up. So he did call her back, but way after. And was like, I'm not doing it for you. Sorry, bud. So after the shooting, he drove through a red traffic light at an intersection 1 mile away from the car crime scene. And he struck another vehicle. And these poor people were just trying to go get fucking ice cream. Teach you. And he leaves. So the driver calls 911.
Yeah.
At the same time, a neighbor found an injured woman, and so they were being treated by the paramedics. Later on, he went to his parents' house in Comstock Township, where he explained to his wife that the swiping of the vehicle was an aggressive taxi driver who don't, I guess, he says taxi drivers don't like Uber drivers.
Because they're competition.
Yeah. And so he says that the wreck happened because a taxi driver
was pissed off.
Sideswiped him, yeah, and was pissed off.
And the wife believed it because taxis are expensive.
No, dude, she has no idea what's going on because he just calls her and he's like, meet me at my parents' house.
Yeah.
And then he assures her that Uber was going to handle the deal. Then he gives his wife a 9mm handgun and tells her it's not safe for her to go home.
What?
Without it. In addition, he tells her not to go to work the next day or take their children to school. When he's leaving, the Hummer didn't start, so he ended up taking a black Chevrolet that his wife had been driving in the meantime. As he left, he told his wife that he could not tell her what was going on, but it would be on the 11 o'clock news. After leaving, he went to an ATM, withdrew money. At 6:44, then driving around for 35 minutes, he returns home to switch guns. He then left at 7:38. He continues to accept Uber requests. When he drives crazy throughout this whole time, he is driving recklessly through this entire time, and people are just constantly calling 911.
Yeah. So this is a, this is what so far a 2 hour span?
Yeah.
3 hour span?
Yeah.
Mental breakdown?
Yep. And okay. We're in it for a minute.
Wow.
None of the passengers noticed anything unusual because he did accept drives. He's accepting drives. He's acting fucking nuts, but he doesn't seem nuts. So they're like, we don't know what the fuck happened. Like, dude, was normal to me. So anyway, so so he calls his wife and tells her not to call her parents. So then we go to 10:01. At this time, a father and son and a girlfriend are at this car dealership looking at cars because they didn't like going in the day and getting hassled by car dealership people. They went at night to just be able to fucking
I've done cruise. This before. Yeah. My husband has rolled in. Oh, that looks cool. And next thing you know, you're in the middle of a car lot and it's 10 o'clock at night. And you're like, okay.
When you're shopping for a car, I really recommend going at night when there is no pressure. You know what I mean?
To see what you like.
Well, obviously, after this, be super careful, but...
There's more cameras nowadays, though.
Yeah, true. So, at 10:01, like I said, he got to the Kia dealership in Kalamazoo. According to a witness, after parking his car, the shooter approached her boyfriend and his father. At 10:05, he asked them what they were looking at. Before they could respond, he fired 18 rounds, fatally killing them. Other witnesses inside the Burger King parking lot across the street recorded the shooter fleeing and called 911. 10 minutes later, a third shooting occurred outside a Crackle Barrel restaurant in Texas Township, located 5 miles away from the Kia dealership.
Wow.
4 people sat inside 2 vehicles. Okay, hold on. 4 people sat inside their vehicles. They were killed. One other person was wounded. The shooter reportedly approached one victim inside a white van, asking her questions and then shooting her before answering. Why does he kill him before talking to him? I don't know. This shooting took about 1 minute before the gunman left. He then returned home. He returned home and fired and reloaded his weapon. Oh, God, dude, it's so horrible. So.
After so just the, randomly going throughout your day and then this person stops you to talk to you, to shoot you.
Yeah.
What?
It's so crazy. So they put out a warning on the public Facebook group warning residents about the shooter in the vehicle and the numerous traffic stops, the vehicle descriptions, the gunman, and where he did shoot at, like locations of his things. They continued the manhunt for him. He continued accepting Uber fares until 12:04 on February 21st. He picked 3 people up and dropped them off on the WMU campus. The passengers later recalled that their driver wasn't too friendly, but nothing set alarms off. Later at 12:12, he picked up 4 people and drove them to the hotel. During the ride, one of the passengers had been hearing reports of a shooting spree and jokingly asked him, "Are you the shooter?" He simply smiled, said no. A few minutes later, he picked up another 3 people, and just like the previous ride, the passengers asked if he was the shooter, and he denied it.
I might skip the Uber if there was an active shooter in an Uber car, you know? Yeah.
At 12:36, a police sergeant with the Kalamazoo County Sheriff's Office observed Dalton dropping off the 3 passengers, followed him, requested backup. He was joined by the KDPD officers, and the 2 conducted a traffic stop at 12:40. When additional officers arrived, the first 2 pulled Dalton out of his vehicle and arrested him. At that time of his arrest, Dalton was wearing a jacket he purchased from the gun store, along with a bulletproof vest. He told police he had bought the vest for his son, who was an explorer for the Kalamazoo County Sheriff's Office. They found a handgun in the back of his waistband. Police believe none of the victims had at least 30 rounds altogether. None of them were connected. Sorry. Mm-hmm. I just like skipped over that. None of them were. So we have at the Meadow Township, a townhomes complex, we have 1 wounded, and that's at 5:42. Mm-hmm. Then we have the Kia dealership where we have 2 dead at 10:08. Then we have the Cracker Barrel where we have 4 dead and 1 wounded. So a little bit about Jason.
Wow.
Right? He just snapped, I guess.
Well, and I looked up because I was curious. Kalamazoo is about the size of Idaho Falls because it's 75,000 people and 25 miles or so.
Okay, well, I'm going to tell you what he claims. So, okay, let me just tell you. Okay, so anyway, he was born June 2nd of 1970. He was identified by the police as the suspect because of the screenshot. They got him without incident. After his arrest, he confessed to committing the shootings. However, I say that this is not a legit reason, but this is the first reason he ever says. Then he goes, I don't know. I'm going to stick with he says, I don't know, because the first reason's batshit crazy. He blames the Uber app, claiming that there's a symbol resembling one order of the East Star that it took over his body during the events after he pressed the button on the new app version resembling the devil.
What?
Mm-hmm. When it apparently popped up, he later said he was no longer experiencing these problems. He said, though, that the screen would turn red. And, like, Uber made him do it.
Please don't tell me that's what he took to court.
Well, yeah. That was his, like...
So what did they diagnose him with? Because I don't think so.
Well, you gotta get his personal background before we go on. Because he has no known criminal history or mental health. So you gotta get to know a fool before we judge him.
Well, I'm just saying, you know? I mean, if you have that little self-control, that a button that looks like some random freaking symbol.
It looks like a fucking U.
Is gonna take over.
It's Uber.
It's gonna take over and the devil possesses you.
Well, yeah. Possessions happen, I guess.
They happen, but, I mean, not because you press an app button. That's why I went to mental health from that point.
Well,
that was my direction.
Maybe there's like a... Maybe we find out that he, you know, was... I don't know. I can't come up with an excuse. Let me just tell you about this fool. Okay, then we can judge it. All right. Ugh. He was raised in Greenfield, Indiana, and went to middle school and high school near Charlottesville.
Charlottesville?
Charlottesville. Mm-hmm. Charlottesville, huh? Charlottesville.
Charlottesville.
He attempted Comstock High School in Kalamazoo. He graduated in 1989. He then attended Kalamazoo Valley Community College. He graduates from there in December of 1992. With an associate's degree in law enforcement. That's impressive. He did not enroll in the school's police academy program, though. He married his wife in 1995. They had two children together.
No.
They were 10 and 15 at the time of his killing spree.
Wow.
His wife started divorce proceedings a week after the killing spree. The family was living in nearby Cooper Township. I fucking love this township stuff. Big fan. In love. Okay. He was mostly described as a nice guy, a good family man. It was reported, though, that he was acting depressed in days before the shooting occurred. So that's kind of, I guess, always watch your people.
Yeah.
Kind of. His neighbor said that he had been acting paranoid right before the shooting occurred.
Paranoid?
Mm-hmm.
You have to be acting a lot paranoid for a neighbor to notice, I guess.
I guess. According to his old friend, Dalton tried to seek a job at the police officer as a police officer in Michigan or in nearby states, but was unable to and had no interest in moving far away to find a police job. Instead, he studied auto body work at WyoTech in Laramie, Wyoming. My brother-in-law went there.
That's a good school.
Yeah, it is. It really is.
Yeah.
and found work at the BMW office in New Jersey at one point. This allowed him to get jobs as a mechanic and then an insurance adjuster at one point. He worked as a driver for Uber during the 2 weeks preceding the killing spree and took fares between the shooting instances where he just did his damn job.
A lot of people will do that for supplemental income.
Yeah. And Uber says that he did pass the company background check.
Huh.
A former coworker of his at the insurance company recalled seeing him yelling at a customer over the phone, slamming the phone down, and pacing around the desk angrily afterward. He had previously been counseled for his professionalism towards customers. Mm-hmm. In an interview, another customer reported an encounter with him, which he called him over to redeem a vehicle of damage, I guess. Dalton missed it and described him as being unprofessional and angry over the phone. In weeks preceding the shooting, he had been questioned by authorities who were investigating a series of shootings along Interstate 94 and Interstate 69. Although Dalton traveled in the area where the shootings occurred, he had been the insurance adjuster for a proof of damage, so he was cleared of that one, of those ones, because he was doing claims at the time. So his weapon was a 9mm handgun magazine, and then he later switched it out for a Glock 19 semi-automatic handgun.
Kind of throwing him off, or wanted to just switch it up a little bit?
I have no idea. So the first people that were killed were Tyler D. Smith. He was 17 years old. His father, Richard E. Smith, who was 53, they were killed at the township. His poor fucking girlfriend wasn't feeling good, and so she decided to stay in the truck that they originally drove there and was laying down in the back seat and heard the whole thing. She called 911 by getting the phone out of her dead boyfriend's pocket.
Oh, honey.
Poor sweet little girl. Yeah. That poor girl. So, how do you pronounce this last name? How would you pronounce that?
Nye.
That's what I thought. Okay, so Mary Jo Nye, who was 60 years old, and Mary Lou Nye, who was 62, Dorothy Brown, who was 74, and Dorothea Humthrone, who was 68 years old, they were killed outside the Cracker Barrel.
Ugh.
They were all friends who were leaving a little friend get-together dinner. Mary Lou and Mary Lou were sisters and a sister-in-law. pronounce her name for me. That's
Abigail.
Abigail
Kampf.
Yeah, Abigail Kampf was 14 years old. She is the one who suffered injuries at the Cracker Barrel. She had a gunshot wound to the head.
Oh.
At the time of her shooting, she was accompanied by Barbara, the victim, a close friend of whom she called grandmother.
Oh.
She was initially reported dead, but later confirmed to be alive. On February 23rd, she remained on a ventilator in critical condition. Though she was breathing on her own, February 28th, she was able to open her eyes. By March 3rd, she was discharged from Boston Methodist Hospital.
Wow.
Yeah.
Those people that you get shot in the motherfucking head.
Dude, so they call her mom. Back. Dude, her mom's on this. This is a 2020 episode that I watched, by the way. They call her mom, and her mom gets there just in time to be like, what the fuck? Okay. And then when she comes to, the doctors, like, tell her, like, don't beat around the fucking bush. Just go in there and tell her what happened. So she goes in there and tells her that she's shot. This poor little girl doesn't remember being told. So she has to be told and told and told that she was shot in the head.
That's why she's in the hospital.
Yeah. Like, that's what happened to
Brain
her.
Brain injuries are intricate and fucked up. I'm sorry, guys, but yeah. They're bad.
So on March 8th, she was transferred to the Mary Free Bed Rehabilitation Hospital in Grand Rapids, Michigan. Her skull was damaged during the incident. She went under surgery at Boston Hospital. Oh my God, I cannot talk today. The Methodist Hospital to remiss the portion of her skull. She had to undergo two surgeries. And then she had an infection from one of her previous surgeries. She was discharged on July 26th, then allowed to return home, but had to go under surgery yet again on October 17th, related to a skin infection.
Mm-hmm.
The surgery was successful and completed. Tina, who was 25, was the first victim, who was the badass, who had been shot 4 times in the left arm, legs, and back. She had survived her shooting, which occurred in the parking lot, like I said.
Protecting the kids.
Mm-hmm.
No.
So her arm had to be, like, really worked. Her arm was damaged severely.
She was shot. What, yeah. Did you say 5 times?
Yeah.
Ugh.
And I think 2 in her arm. 2 in her leg and 1 in her back, I think is the order of it. So she has to still, in August of 2016, she underwent 2 more surgeries, with her leg. So, I mean, these survivors are...
They're still suffering.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Hopefully not now as much, but... So, on February 22nd, 2016, he was arraigned on 16 counts, including 6 counts of murder, 2 counts of assault with attempt to commit murder, 8 counts of using a firearm during the commission of a felony. He was to reappear in court on March 10th for a preliminary hearing. On March 3rd, he was ordered to undergo a psych evaluation to determine his competence to stand trial. He reappeared in court on April 22nd, where it was ruled by the Michigan Center of Forensics that he was found competent to stand his trial. He appeared again on April 20th for his preliminary hearing to determine if there was enough evidence for him to for these charges. During that hearing, he made a verbal outburst when Tina was talking on the stand. And the victim from the shooting, while she was testifying, he repeatedly, very loudly, shouted somewhat incredible, you can't really hear it. I don't know, indescribable, that's the word.
Inaudible.
But, like, you can't understand it, but it's like it sounds like he's saying, say something. Like, he's screaming, say something, say something, say something. And she's fucking freaking the fuck out, dude. She's bawling, she's freaking out. Everybody in the court is like, shut this dude the fuck up. Like, what the hell is going on? Shut him up. And his lawyer's sitting there like, sure. This is my day, judge. Like, I don't know. A fucking public defender.
Yeah, he's number 162 today.
Yeah, he's so... like, I really don't want to do this. So this forced a recall to be called. And he was removed from the courtroom.
Yeah.
The hearing resumed days later. And he appeared via video hookup from the jail.
Well, that's how they do shit nowadays.
So on June 6th, following the pre-trial conference, his attorneys announced their plans to present a legal defense for their client, that he will go another psych evaluation, which they said would go within 60 days. His trial was supposed to start in September or early October. A statement was put out on the 15th, was supposed to be put out on the 15th. On the 12th of August, a conference was postponed. Then in September, God, I hate court hearings. Mm-hmm. It's like nothing but postpone. Oh, something big happens.
You take time
postpone,
off.
Yep. Postpone. Yep. Something big happens. Postpone. Postpone. You're sentenced.
Mm-hmm.
Like, damn. Get it over with. For hell's sake, just tell me now.
Out. It drags out and drags out, and that's actually a tactic that I've heard about.
Oh my God, this drives me insane.
Mutual acquaintance.
So, on the 30th, it was again delayed again because his psychologist said he was not yet finished. June 13th, trial date was set. That trial date letter later was denied. Jury selection was later supposed to start on January 3rd of 2019 with opening statements beginning scheduled for January 7th. On January 7th, he agreed finally to fucking plead guilty to all counts against him.
Good.
And he calls his mom on the jail phone and he's like, I'm gonna fucking end the shenanigans.
I'm over it.
Like, I'm gonna fucking end the shenanigans. Calm down. Like, I'm kind of sick of this. This is not fun. His wife left him. His kids don't talk to him. You know what I mean? Like, I think it set in the, oh shit, I did what I did.
So did they ever discover it was just a break?
Nope. So on February 5th of 2019, he was sentenced to life in prison without parole. And that is the story of the Uber driver killer, Jason Brian Dalton.
Oh. Snapped.
2020. But he should have been on Snapped. Maybe he is on an episode of Snapped, but I caught on 2020.
Yeah.
Love me some 2020.
And I've been in Ubers, and I've been in cabs, and I've been in Lyft.
Dude, I'm so scared. Like, I'm always like, yeah, we can just take an Uber. And then I'm like, yeah, we can just drive, though. Because, like, that's... No.
Sometimes you don't have a choice. I get so scared. Like, the most memorable time, I flew to Denver meeting Jeremy, and he was in a big truck, so it had to be, it was the closest truck stop to the airport, okay? Mm-hmm. Less than 5 miles. It was $50.
Jesus.
And this mother trucker didn't even have a meter in his car. It was off of his freaking phone.
Well, yeah, it's all done on the phone.
Yeah, and it smelled weird in there, you know? And what was I going to do? What was I going to say?
I always watch those Uber videos on YouTube where it's like they get that badass Uber driver where it's like this dude automatically just starts singing. And it's like beautiful and amazing. And so you tip him like a bunch of money because you're like, damn, a show too? And I want those. But I don't trust the people here. I'm nothing against them. You know what I mean? But like, I'm too scared.
I'm not, because what if it's the situation?
I love me some Idahoans, but
where you get in a cab and then all of a sudden you're on cash cab. That would be
no,
amazing.
Because then I'm gonna start stuttering and be like, Washington D.C. That's near Spokane. Yes. Uh huh. Idaho Falls. Don't know it. Next question. Like, that's going to be me.
You just don't talk then. I'll
right? That'll be me. Oh, my God. And then did you hear that? Sorry, you guys. You guys have to hear about this. Jeffree Star came to Idaho Falls yesterday. Oh. He's a huge, huge, huge product, like, makeup. He has amazing things. I can't afford his shit. I'm too broke. But it looks amazing.
Mm-hmm.
People I know that can't afford it say it's amazing. But he was here.
Oh, wow.
And, would have loved to meet him. He just broke up with his boo, his man. They just broke up
mm-hmm.
after like a really, really long time together.
Oh, is that the guy that's been on the internet?
Yeah. Gene's not into pop culture. But like, he just really got a big old balling house with him and everything. So
why
like,
in the world did he come to Idaho Falls?
To go to Northwest Cosmetics to...
Oh, sweet.
Yeah. So sweet. Hopefully that we get his business. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
That'd that's be cool. amazing.
That's cool.
For Northwest. Yeah. So... I was so sad. I wish I could have met him. Ugh, this podcast gets me nothing.
You know, you had mentioned, I'm glad for those survivors. of that terrible shooting. Mm-hmm. That one woman and that girl, freaking. That would be horrific.
You really are would. So left field. We go from makeup back to victims.
Well, I know. I just wanted to touch base. Jesus. You know, go back, give them props because damn, girl.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
I kind of left field you again because you had said earlier about being scarred from the previous episode.
Yeah.
Dude,
Oh, we're talking about your trauma?
I am traumatized. You have successfully scarred me.
Score.
I'm sure one of these days I'll be a ballin' on the episode, make her happy. But it sucks because I hit my elbow. I can't even fucking remember how I did it. But you know when you hit your not funny bone?
Yeah.
And it hurts for days?
Yeah, now you think you're disappointed.
Whenever I move it and it hurts, guess what I think about?
You're comparing hitting your funny bone to a sledgehammer?
No, but God, sometimes that hurts. You know what I mean? When you hit it just right and it's awesome.
Well, no, I don't. But yeah.
Awful.
It's awful, yeah.
Awful.
I know. I scarred Robin. I know that for sure.
Yeah.
She's admitted to her scarring of the last episode.
I'm with you.
I almost cried, so you know it's bad. When?
God almighty.
I even told Kara about it, and she was like, what the fuck? Because I don't make her listen. She's my babysitter. She don't have to. And my cousin. So she don't have to. She knows I'm fucking weird. So, in a good way. But yeah.
Yeah.
That's it, you guys. That's it for Tuesday. Good old-fashioned
Uber.
My paranoia of Ubers and taxis, which is crazy because I want to go to New York so bad, but I'm like, oh, I can get in a taxi in New York and it's safe beans. But then I Googled Uber taxi driver killers and I was like, well, damn, there's quite a list. There's some shit that pops off. Rapes and fucking, like, robberies and sorts of crazy
shit.
Well,
but I do like that one gentleman that had the picture of the Uber driver's information.
Yeah.
And then he also got the NC. That would be smart. So if something does
happen, then they call him back and they're like, was it this guy? And he's like, yeah, did something happen? And they're like, no, we're just following up. It's fine. And in the meantime, then they get back on the radio thing and they're like, so it is him. And it's gone far.
Yeah.
It's far.
You gotta find him right now.
Now would be fine. In meantime, it just blows my mind that this dude, in the meantime, people are like, oh my God, did you guys hear that there's an Uber driver out there killing people? Are you him? And he's like, you guys are totally safe. No, it's not me. And they're like, oh, okay, chill.
Don't mind my car having damage from sideswiping another vehicle and fucking probably shells on the floor.
It's Uber. You know what I mean? Maybe this is what he does. Some people offer water. He has weird shit. Who knows? Never been in one. So scared. I really wanted to do it because I was like, oh, that's such a great way to meet people.
Mm-hmm.
And I love people. But then I was like, I don't trust people. Like, I love you from like a distance. I'm a people watcher more in the sense than a go get involved with you weird asses.
I've taken lifts before. Like in, where the hell was it? Gosh damn it.
I know they deliver your Walmart groceries, which is weird.
Yeah.
It's already weird that you have someone shop for you. Like I do it. I use it all the fucking time. But it is weird because then my coworkers know like my inner household.
You know? You don't do your own self shopping?
No. I do it on my days off. So I can pull up there and be a dick. And I'm like, oh yeah, today's busy. That sucks. Load it. See ya. Have a good day, pal. That's me. I'm like, that sucks. I take my 2 days off very seriously.
Well, good.
I go there every fucking time.
Well, that's why I'm saying multitask, yo.
No. I always think I get all my grocery shopping done. I'm one of those people that I'm like, yes, I am done.
We for just the next go without 2 weeks, until I go again.
Yeah. No. For like the next 2 weeks, I'm good. I won't have to buy anything.
Mm-hmm.
And then I go home and I'm like, God damn it.
There's no creamy chicken soup.
I can't make a damn thing because I forgot the one thing that makes everything in this damn house work. And it's just,
Well, my house stops when we run out of Tillamook cheese. There's certain people that understand that.
I don't know, you guys. I don't know. My house is cookies. If I run out of cookies, I get grumpy.
Yeah, but you can always whip up some no-bakes.
No. I don't have any of, like, all the stuff, you know? I'm one of those people that, like, I grew up with, like, having PB&J but no bread. So, like, I made it on tortillas. And I was always that house that had milk but no cereal. And then when we had cereal, we didn't have milk. And so I find that even as an adult, I still keep very bad tendencies where I don't get everything at once. It takes me like a month to make cookies because I'm like, oh, I'll buy the sugar today to save spending the money on the chocolate chips. You know what I mean? I can do that another day is my logic. It's not logic. It's what I fucking do. But it doesn't make sense. I understand that. But that's what I do.
You know what's the twist is? I go through that because you have to kind of be in a mood to make cookies.
Yeah.
Okay?
You got to make them with love.
And so then you're pumped and you're getting all the ingredients out onto your fancy counter and a certain Daniel has eaten all the chocolate chips.
Because he's fat.
Because they are not there. They're gone. They're gone.
So you just don't make them anymore.
Or they're dicks and they put the empty cereal box back in the cabinet.
Eric always puts the empty milk carton back in the fridge. I'm like, why?
So it stays cold.
Why? My husband's a midnight eater. I know we've gone on like a complete different fucking subject, but you guys have to know these things because they're interesting. He's a midnight eater.
I understand munchies.
And yeah. I wake up and he's had full meals.
No.
I'm dead serious. There's plates and like... snacks. If I have snacks in my house of any sort, you wake up to like a graveyard of wrappers everywhere. And like his phone's YouTube's playing and like there's some fish aquarium shit going on. And you just have to sit there for a second. And you're like, what the fuck happened? Like, how did I sleep through all of this madness that it looks like happened in here? Because he plays his football game, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And then he'll YouTube, and then he goes to sleep, so you always wake up to either YouTube or the TV. And I have to turn off everything. Like, I wake up in the middle of the night just to go turn off everybody's shit.
You wake up so early in the morning.
Yeah.
Yet you wake up in the middle of the night.
Like 500 times.
It'll end. Don't worry.
It won't, because my kids worship Satan.
They don't they do. Either.
That's a different day.
They're... oh, I have the best thing for you. Did I show you out here?
All right. Well, let's end this first.
Okay.
All right. So, follow us on Twitter at itiswhatitis208 because that's where we're from. On Instagram, itiswhatitispod19, all one word. Facebook, itiswhatitis, a true crime podcast. YouTube, itiswhatitis, a true crime podcast. You can also email us at itiswhatitispod19. @gmail.com with suggestions, bullshit, whatever. I mean, just a whatever. I don't give a shit. Follow us on everything. I'm not really good at social media, but hey, I always answer back. And, oh, Jean just sent me something. Now I got distracted. So, yeah, follow us, like us. Please go to iTunes. If you still say something mean, leave at least like a 2-star because it makes me feel good. But then you guys can slander me. But yeah, have a good day.
Thanks, guys.
Peace.